brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to Smokes episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. I'm your host, good old boy Barger, and to my left is good old boy Rich.
Glad to be here, coach.
Good to have you, man. Good old boy Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
And good old boy Mike.
Yeah, I'm here to bring wrath upon everything once again.
Yeah, we nailed it for that one, didn't we? We're the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before How to Lose Friends and Alienate Yourself. And just after, does this rag smell like chloroform?
That's my favorite pickup line.
Right? As you know, and I hope you know, our smoke segments are about cigars and, well, anything that is smoked. As for today's segment, drum roll please, we will be hanging out with our buddies at Artista Cigars. So strap on and hang in tight. We're going to have fun today, but don't worry. If you miss anything, you can download the full episode from anywhere you download podcasts from. Apple Music, Spotify.
Anywhere?
Yeah, you name it. Anywhere? We're there. We're all there.
Yeah!
But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember the buddy system. Where is your buddy?
Lars, shouldn't you be watching the kids?
Oh, don't worry. I have them on the body system.
Body system?
Yeah, have a look.
Body!
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 I love it every single time I hear that. It just makes me laugh. If you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered in our Cigar 101 episode where all the cigars speak will be decoded. Just search for Sip, Suds, and Smokes Cigar 101s, and that episode should pop right up right in front of you, and follow the link in our show notes. Good old boy Barger, which is me, gets the honor of going over our Smokes ratings today.
Like how he can read his own notes.
I know.
It's just you read.
It's such a great moment of accomplishment.
I'm really learning so here, proud. Guys.
We
I'm
can
really
put anything in
here.
Front of him. He'll read it.
That's right. You just put it in front of me. All right. We'll be smoking and discussing these cigar ratings and rating them with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes ratings plus our signature sounds. Here are those ratings now. One, this sucked before it was even lit, or as we like to call it, Mike's rating. Two, at least I lit it. Three, I would smoke this again. Four, how much amp for him?
Magnificent.
I got it. I forget that one every time. Five, where are they? I need a box. So, Benjamin, why don't you go over the lineup today?
Yeah, the cigars we'll be reviewing today are the Artista Midnight, the Harvest, the Rugged Country Series Cimarrone, and the Polita 60 Anniversario.
And there's another one at the end that I didn't tell you until you get to your notes.
Surprise.
All right, good old boy Mike's going to take it away with the Artista Harvest.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention was another episode that we actually got to talk with Kevin Newman from Artista.
What up, Kevin?
Take a look at that episode. It's actually a video episode, one of our rare ones.
It's called The California Pickle Tickle. Is that what that is?
It's called Cooking with Kevin. Oh. And it's a really great conversation, you know, that we had with Kevin. Very interesting background. I mean, a lot of the way that he approaches cigars is the way that he approaches cooking. That's kind of his frame of reference, how he kind of charges into managing this product line. And so we actually talked about his background actually cooking. So that's why it's called Cooking with Kevin. And so it's a great episode. It's a great conversation.
Speaking of sirens, huge shout out to Juan with Artista Cigars.
Okay.
Makes the best espresso at the PCA.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember. That was good.
He kept me going, bro. Kept me going. Yes, love him. Love you, Juan.
Barger and Kevin are on the first part of that episode, and then I joined them for the online episode, which is audio only, for another extended discussion. So definitely, if you enjoy our discussion about Artista and you're going to come and actually learn a little bit more about the person behind this brand, definitely check that out.
Definitely check it out. It's a fun time for sure.
Yeah. So the first cigar we're going to talk about from Artista is called Harvest. The Artista series is a novel approach to blending tobaccos, representing years of hard work, development, and learning from failure and capitalizing on success to bring you our best work yet. The Artista Harvest features a supple, I can't speak that word without laughing,
supple
top grade Sumatra wrapper, a flavorful Cameroon binder, and a filler blend that is unlike anything we've ever offered. There is the wrapper, which is top grade Sumatra. The binder is Marifel Cameroon, and Benjamin's going to talk about that in just a second. And the filler is a Dominican proprietary blend. Ooh,
I would have butchered the hell out of that binder.
Top secret.
Yeah. So Benjamin actually did a little bit of hustle. We were sitting here, and I'm like, "Well, who's Marifel?" And I'm like, "So you figured it out?"
Well, I think
the conversation went, "What's Marifel?" Yeah.
I didn't say that.
And Benjamin was like, "Actually,
I think I've seen that in my Marifel before.
Marifel.
That was the way you said it." I didn't say it that way.
Is that like your peripheral vision?
That's right.
But super cool piece of cigar history, right? The Cameroon wrapper being, for me, one of the more sought-after wrappers. I tend to enjoy a lot of things wrapped in Cameroon. The original Cameroon leaf, though, does come from Central Africa. And the Mirafel Cameroon is actually a specific grower of this Cameroon wrapper. So Rick Mirafel and his family have been growing the Cameroon tobacco wrapper for over 140 years in Central Africa. It's prized for its flavor. And the more impressive part of this wrapper for tobacco is that it's grown in some of the most dangerous and corrupt areas of Central Africa. So not only, you know, is you get to utilize this beautiful product, right, out of a very dangerous and chaotic place.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Here are some of my notes on the Artista Harvest. This I did not mention the size, which is a
what's the girth?
54 by 5.
Today we're going to be demonstrating how to measure girth. Girth is a very important measurement when determining sizes. First, take your tape measure. Place it at the center of the shoulder, bring it down through the crotch, and back up again, making sure it's going over the widest part.
Again.
I'll give you the widest part.
Here are some of my notes. After fighting tons of construction issues, bad draw, it went out twice, and then there were burn line issues. I was like bobbing and weaving through it all. It's kind of spicy up front with cedar and pecan nuts. And then it kind of moved to a mild profile with some stone fruit kind of thing going on. So, definitely not the favorite of this product line for me.
Really?
Yeah.
So you gave it, your good old mic rating?
I did. Mm. And I am just not a fan of construction issues. It's just too easy to hit the mark and do it right, And I just, when I'm having to fight through something like that, I just wasn't a fan.
So what were the issues?
Everything. Bad draw, burn line issues, just general construction. It actually went out twice, and then, the one we're going to talk about later, had some similar problems. Rich, what'd you think, man?
I actually kind of liked it. It was a little bit, I think I didn't have any construction issues on mine. So maybe that has a lot to do with it, but, it burnt nice. I thought it was full flavor, but I didn't feel like it was real complex.
I wonder how your humidifier at home is
I had this in a fully humidified bag. I am not going to take any grief.
A bag?
I had stored it the whole time.
What, is it a Ziploc with a hole in it or something?
Yeah, that's exactly how I keep things regulated. No, it was with the Boveda bags.
Man, so, I loved the Harvest.
Huh.
I've probably smoked half a box of them by now.
Yeah, I was about to say, you like them because you probably smoked like eight of them.
So, yeah,
you
know. I mean, well, the thing is like, you know, I'm a little biased to people that I like and, you know, love and appreciate. So, like, I've smoked quite a bit of the Artista line, but even before I got to know them, like, I was smoking the Buffalo 10s. I was smoking a lot of, like, the Paperboys. The Paperboys is my jam. Like, it's that dog walker size cigar that, you know, we all love. That Paperboy is so good.
Yeah, I panned it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing is like with the Harvest series, like I really enjoyed, it's a very middle of the road for me. Like it's mild, not overly complex, but that little bit of that Cameroon pops out in the flavor profile, and I think that it gives it that really good kind of little bit of spicy wash to it. Does that make sense?
100%. This one, for me, especially being more familiar with the like Buffalo 10 experience, and then that being my introduction to Artista, getting into the Harvest series, this one was a step up for me. This is the one that actually kind of,
I agree,
you know yeah, elevated
definitely better than the Buffalo 10
opinion
series,
of it. I was like, oh, okay, you know, like they're doing some things here. It's still, you know, a great purchase, right? Like the price point on these things is solid.
Yeah.
You know, box press is not my
under
favorite.
$10,
but that's, you for know, sure. We could have a whole episode about why I don't like box press.
So let's give it a rating here. We'll go three across the board. I say across the board, that's because that's the first thing that pops into my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we all know you gave it a one.
I think hose Mike.
Yeah.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
So we just rated the Artista Harvest cigar. Thank you for coming back from the ads, and I hope you buy all of the things from them. We rated the Artista Harvest a 3. Now, next up, good old boy Benjamin has the glorious pleasure of telling us all about the Artista Midnight, which is another Harvest series.
Embrace the dark.
Embrace the dark.
The Artista Midnight series is a novel approach to blending tobaccos, representing years of hard work, development, and learning from failure, and capitalizing on success to bring you our best work yet. Artista Midnight is our first premium full-bodied cigar. Featuring a dark Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Connecticut shade binder offers sweetness, and the filler tobaccos from three countries impart an incredible flavor profile. Those three countries on the filler are Nicaraguan, Dominican, and USA blend. Cannot say enough wonderful things about the Artista Midnight. This thing, even, you know, obviously from the branding perspective, it looks in line with sexy. The Harvest. So just thinking,
I love
originally
this, holding it in my hand,
just originally thinking that this was just going to be a darker shade wrapped version of the Harvest. This thing is a completely different animal, right? Upon further investigation, completely different blend, big chocolatey coffee notes, subtle spice. The retro hell on this thing gets a little bit more spicy.
I really like the retro.
And, And it was it's one of those cigars where you know, you're not supposed to retrohale too many times, right? It'll definitely mess up the olfactory there.
I did the whole thing.
But I caught myself like trying not to retrohale this cigar because I really enjoyed it so much.
What I really like is how the Connecticut shade blended with the Ecuadorian Habano. And I think that the subtlety of the spice that's in it with the cocoa notes of the Habano is I with that Maduro shade, man. I thought
it was going to be a doormat, you know, to the wrapper.
And, you're a doormat.
And it was not. No. You know, I was like, wow, okay, this thing's kind of like standing up to it.
No, this is a great smoke.
Oh, totally.
I felt like I thought it was going to be a lot fuller than it was. So it was a little surprising to me that I felt like it was a bit smoother than I had anticipated. But again, it had a lot of good, like a spice flavor.
Yeah.
That left that flavor in my
mouth. Yeah, that Connecticut like going.
Well, it's that aftertaste, you know, that you kind of take around with you. But yeah, it's really good.
And I think
very enjoyable.
You know, I think Rich nailed it, right? He expected it to be maybe like a little more fuller, a little more punchy than, you know, because of its shade, right? And have a little bit more power. And Artista rates it the same way, right? Like this is full on, you know, top end spectrum of body and strength.
Sure.
And because it was so smooth and well constructed and blended, this thing was an easy sip, and you know, this it was very, very enjoyable from a smoking perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was awesome. And like I said, I'm a big fan because I've smoked quite a few. So I may be a little biased. Let's just throw that out there. You know, full transparency here, folks. I really like all the things that they do in their profiles. So
best stick like in the lineup like. For me, hands same. Down. Yep. And, okay. You know, I'm reading through my notes, and I don't get to type this very often. Oh, my.
Oh, really? Oh,
nice. Yeah. Such great flavor.
That was the same thing you said about me the first time.
Is he going to rate this a 2?
Full wood, leather.
I'm shocked.
You know, a little subtle spice, really great construction, you know, around this. I remember that I was about a third away through this stick, and I was like, I was just enjoying some water with it initially, and I'm like, I really want to see, you know, I don't know, I want to try something different. And I went and grabbed a Spanish gin, one of my favorites, Vanagander is the name of it.
Say that 3 times fast. Yeah.
Spanagander. Yeah, really fabulous Spanish gin, and just had it was straight up with, you know, a gin and tonic. And wow, I just was ready to put up a sign, you know, by me that says, go away.
Yeah. Not going where I will taunt you a second time.
Like, wow. I think probably the only thing that I didn't like about this is I wanted another stick and I didn't have another one. And same. I was like, wow.
Oh, I can make that happen.
Yeah. It definitely was a game changer. Probably one of the better Maduros that I've had. And again, you know, my comment about I really thought the Ecuadorian Connecticut was just literally going to be a do nothing experience. And I'm like, well, this is just going to be, you know, all smoke and, you know, this heavy overtone from the Maduro wrapper. And the, you know, the rest of the cigar is just going to sit there and go, whatever, man, you know. And I liked how it was a really elegant cigar. I loved it all the way.
Well, let's give it a rating here, boys. That's a 5 across the board.
Yeah.
And I mean across the board.
See, I can say it's nice.
You just gave a cigar a 5. I don't know.
It's a great stick, man.
Is this what a stroke feels like?
This is
yeah. I think I'm having a stroke.
Am I dreaming?
That's right.
Here's some new personal lube for you.
That's right.
Go in the corner and enjoy the moment.
This is spearmint flavor.
Yeah, right? There you go. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rugged Country Series. Cimarron?
Yes.
Is that what Rich is going to go over that with Cimarron. Us right now? Tell us about it.
This is a wild, raggy river cuts craggy, snow-packed peaks, Raging rapids slash through sparkling granite shores dotted with tall pine trees flowing to a landscape with saturated riverbeds.
Is this a movie about something in Switzerland or what's going on here?
It's called Alone. It's called Alone.
I think it's the process of making that gin you were just talking about.
I'm waiting for Julie Andrews to hop out and go, the hills are alive. Sorry. Go ahead,
Rich. All right, keep going.
Sorry.
All right, these are the Cimarron regions of America. And the inspiration for Cimarron cigars. One is a spicy Maduro complemented with hints of earthy sweetness. The other is a mellow Connecticut shade that enhances notes of cedar, leather, and earth. We've selected rare and exclusive select tobaccos for a smoking experience like no other.
And we're going over the Maduro.
This is the Maduro. Yes, wrappers a Mexican San Andreas. The binder is a Dominican rare.
Negrito?
Yes, Negrito. And the filler is a Colombian, Dominican, and USA blend.
That's awesome. Well, this is actually one of those cigars where it kind of feels like a... It's very deceiving. The banding is very deceiving because it's banded as a budget, like a cigar.
Really?
Almost all their cigars are under...
It's embossed, man.
Almost all their cigars are under $10. So that's a good price point for me. So this banding is a little plain for me. So it's like a green and white banding with Cimarron on the label.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into subtle, simplistic labeling, right? I think that there's a lot of brands out there that really try to go over the top with the band and really trying to sell you with the window dressing,
the cigar.
You know.
And it covers up half the wrapper.
And I think that, you know, what they're doing here from Artista is really just keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Right? Keeping... They're putting their money into the cigars and the blends and the tobacco, right? And then, you know, obviously putting their band on it, you know, so that you know what you're smoking, but not trying to beat you up with it.
No, right? I get that. I'm wholeheartedly understand what you're saying. Like the way that they keep their price point down is to keep it simple, for sure, 100%.
And it's the Rugged Country series, man. What's it supposed to have?
But like, I don't know, like a 4x4 on it or something, like a monster truck or something. You know, some mud. I don't know.
It's not from Murray, Kentucky.
You know, we can't win them all. But anyway, like, it's very deceiving. Is
feel completely underdressed for the discussion.
So let me just cut this
wife beater on.
I'll cut the sleeves off your shirt in a second. Just for me, and we've had this discussion multiple times in here, in this room and in other rooms. That
I can say Mike is right again. Room.
No, well, maybe. I don't know. But I'm a sucker for branding. And we all know that I'm a sucker for branding. And I love their branding on their Harvest series, how they do their labels and their color coding on that. And then it's just hard for me to go from that to a simpler band. But what I have found is that, man, that product really speaks for itself. That Cimarron cigar is fantastic.
Fantastic.
And when I first started, I really wanted to be like, oh, okay, it's a budget stick. Let me just see what it's about. But dude, I was wrong. And you could put that in writing and tell my wife.
What'd you say?
It's fine. I was wrong. That cigar was freaking awesome.
My comments here about the Artista Cimarron. A bit spicy up front, kind of rather mild for this particular wrapper. Some off-flavor thing that was going on in the middle of this. You know, it was just
your fingers.
Yeah. Just kind of a average, you know. Dominican, you know, Colombian thing going on. I don't know. It was just okay.
Did you smoke the Connecticut by chance, anyone?
I did. I smoked it.
They're rating the Connecticut as fuller flavor than the Maduro.
I concur.
Did you see that?
Yes.
You agree with that?
100%. I think that's
interesting.
Well, I just think that that's one of the cool things, and that was going to be my talking point about this, is that even though the Maduro leans to be or would make one think that because it's a darker shade that it's going to have.
I am here.
More, that's exactly right.
It's, why don't you sit down?
It's going to have more body or strength or what have you. I felt like this was more of like the dessert spectrum of Maduro, though it does have that depth of flavor profile.
Yeah.
I thought that the strength of the cigar was very medium. Very approachable.
So it's like having Kevin whisper near, come here, I'm not going to hit you.
Yeah, and the Connecticut for me had a bit more body.
Yeah.
Right? It had a bit more strength to it, which I think is also, it's just that juxtaposition shade versus strength.
I wonder if they're trying to teach us a lesson about the branding and the band and the colors.
Could be.
Don't judge a cigar
Some of their other brands are kind of simplistic as well, like the Buffalo 10, like we talked about, the Paperboy.
Yeah.
Like those kind of are simplistic bands, but their whole packaging and motif is what they go for with that.
Yeah.
So those comes in five packs, you know, that are brown paper wrapped and you don't really see what's in it. And so it's definitely interesting with what you're saying.
And basically, I think the other thing that Rich is trying to get to is that don't judge a cigar by its wrapper.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Just because you may be a bolder, full strength, full deeper flavor smoker doesn't mean that there's not a Connecticut out there.
Sure.
I'll smoke half of the stick and then walk back in and say, can I have another midnight instead?
Yeah, right, for sure. All right, well, let's give it a rating, fellas. What do we got? That's going to be a 5 across the board.
I think you need to work on how averages happen.
I think this is not. What do you mean?
You have to look beyond your own hand, Barker.
It's majority rules.
Okay, it's all right.
It was 2-1.
For sure, it's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, good old boy Barker's gonna have the
Polita.
Yeah, speaking of myself in the third person.
Polita.
I'm gonna talk about the Polita, the 60th Anniversario series. In 1956, a humble cigar roller in the Dominican Republic, Ramon Polita Rodriguez, established Tabacalera El Artista. Beginning with a single blend and a dream to build a factory, Don Polita launched a legend. In 2016, we revisited the original blend that made Don Polita famous. Sparing no expense, we sought out the original tobaccos for a true vintage smoking experience. We developed a true to the original blend of 6 exceptional tobaccos, including tobacco grown and aged by our own skilled craftsmen for an unmatched smoking experience. The Polita 60th Anniversario features a rare Negrito wrapper with a velvety, smooth Dominican cacao finish.
Cacao.
So on that, I got a wrapper of a rare Dominican Negrito. I got a binder of Dominican Criollo 98
Criollo,
and a filler of Nicaraguan, Dominican, Colombian, and a USA blend.
So this is the one where they went out to recreate the original blend.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they didn't use the original tobaccos. They used
the original branding, I think.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
But they were looking for the flavor, right?
So basically, to my understanding, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, then just tell us in the comments. What happened was they probably had some of the older stuff still available.
Right.
Or some of the older already rolled cigars maybe still hiding. And they smoke them and say, well, we want something like this.
They were just saving them. They're not hiding.
Sure.
I had this conversation with somebody. I was at an event today, and they were talking about, oh, do you have some of those super secret special releases in the back? Or like, did this come out of a special barrel that somebody forgot? Like, nobody forgot about the barrel. Nobody forgot about these cigars, man. They've just been saving them.
Yeah, the federal government won't let us forget. We know it's there. We pay taxes on it every
year.
That's
exactly right.
Right.
That's right.
Dude, that was my side. I said, you don't forget things that you pay taxes on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's right. I don't think I've walked into a cigar shop and go, hey, man, what do you got in the back?
Yeah. I love it. That's my favorite thing to ask everywhere I go.
You,
just to see people's faces.
You got some blends and some really and some.
I'm on the best brand truck all the way here.
That's where Don Polito, you know, cigars from 60 years.
That's where we keep the Swish or Sweets.
Where's the Pappy at over there? So I, this is my favorite cigar of the of the
Are you guys keeping track? That's his third. Yeah. That's his third favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Not my third favorite.
I just want to make sure that I was keeping.
You know how many best friends he has?
Yeah. You know
all of them.
Right.
Everybody.
Yeah. I have all of them. Yeah, you're welcome. You're
such a sweet man, Barger.
Man, I'm telling you, I have smoked this cigar in the morning. I've smoked this cigar in the evening. And it's supper time.
And he's done it in the shower.
That's right. That's if I could have a shower cigar, I'd smoke this in the shower.
He does it with the house. He does it in the mouth.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I do care. That's right. But, I mean, what you guys are going to, you know, laugh at me. So what do you guys think?
I would not laugh at you here or there. I right? would not laugh with you anywhere.
Now laughing at you.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
So what do you think?
Rich, fire away, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good cigar. I mean, you know, what can you say? It's a solid smoke all the way through. I didn't have any problems with it, so that's all I got.
I would have liked to have the opportunity to, like, smoke an original, right?
Yeah, right.
Just for conversation's sake to
exactly.
see.
Yeah.
Right, like, I've gotten to taste...
Ram, send us some.
Some... point of my life, like some older whiskeys and stuff like that, right? And it's that effect of drinking in a time machine, right? Or getting to experience something in a time machine. And so to be able to know what they were shooting for versus what this, you know, new product was, this anniversary edition was, yeah. I think would be super cool.
Yeah.
You know, this is something I would buy again, right? I would keep a couple in the humidor because I enjoyed it. Did have a little bit of like nice spice to it, some cool like toasty hay notes, a little bit of that like that nice kind of classic leather, but it, you know, it would also have to be at the right price point for me, like anniversary edition, as long as it's not,
I mean, there's
crazy out of its price point.
The price point on these are under $15.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, how do you know it tastes like the original if you haven't had one?
Yeah, marketing works.
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, you know.
They'll send us some original. I'll talk to them.
Yeah.
I got a best friend somewhere.
No, it's good, though.
Yeah, you know, I think that's always the difficulty when you're choosing to show homage to a past element of something that if people don't have that frame of reference right. to know what things taste, you know, what that was like before, you know, they could have said, well, this wasn't really about anniversary. And I think the way they kind of spun it up was that, you know, they were saying that they were trying to, you know, strike gold, you know, right. once yeah. again. So let's read it after we come back. Yeah.
Never mind.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today on our Smokes episode, we are going over a product line from Artista Cigars.
Artista.
Previously known as El Artista. So we're going through a series of cigars, and we were in the middle of discussion for the Artista Pulito 60th Anniversario. And I was going to talk about a little of my notes about this particular cigar. I wrote down really good. Great balance, kind of a touch of spice, and there's kind of a bit of some mint, you know, in the middle of this that I kind of picked up, probably on the retrohale if I know myself
definitely,
you know, better.
Some herbaceous vibes.
Yeah. Kind of a fair finish to this, so I thought it was kind of good and average once again. Going back to our discussion, I really wish that I'd had that compare and contrast moment. I was just kind of judging the cigar for what it is, not how well did they strike gold and reproduce something that they had done in the past. And so for all I know, this was, you know, 10 times better than the original.
Fair.
For right. all I know, or yep. they may yep. have completely missed the mark and it was 10 times worse.
And my point I was trying to make earlier was, you know, what, how's the taste of a smoker changed over the years? What were they smoking back then? Was it as complex as we're smoking today? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Or is it more complex? Was it better? I don't know.
Yeah, there's really no telling. I mean, unless you've got a vault with
a lot more chemicals that you don't want to know, you know, about.
Yeah, a lot more stuff, some Agent Orange in there, maybe. You know, who knows?
That would be a fun episode to get into. It would be like the farming practices or something like that, because we've drawn the lines for like vintage whiskey versus new age whiskey, and we know that those have completely commercialized.
Could do a vintage cigar episode, right?
But everything that you ever see about cigars is it's still hand-picked, hand-grown, like from seed to sprout to full-grown plant. These things are cultivated by hand.
So I think that the practices have not changed.
Yeah.
The production facilities have changed.
Some.
So have they? For the most part, they have. And the aging process, which... A lot of the tobaccos that are grown and aged now.
But as the world gets smaller, though, you're also able to pull tobaccos from different parts of the world and blend them differently.
And fermentation process is definitely evolved.
Yeah, this flat earth gets pretty big.
I would say that they're definitely using, you know, the use of herbicide and pesticides has dramatically changed and altered in a broad range of, you know, agricultural products, but... You know, I'm thinking of the two things that are side by side, you know, in the Dominican Republic, which are coffee and tobacco are going to have a very shared space, you know, together.
Sure.
And there are more pesticides that are used on coffee than any other agricultural product.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you've listened to any of our coffee episodes, I've warned you, I've told you, listen, if you're not staring at the one that says organic on it, you know, you are... kind of rolling the dice, you know, about exactly what you're getting at the end of the day. A lot of that stuff is washed off. I mean, when you really kind of look at what is a coffee bean at the end of the day, it's a fruit, it's a cherry, you know, there's a bean inside of it that's been protected from a lot of those elements,
that actually
have not leached on it directly. Plus, you know, you look at the finishing process for beans where it's washed, there's a ton of water that's gone over it, which could be also full of pesticides as well,
right, yeah.
You know. But... You know, tobacco, you know, has gone through some of the changes, you know, in cultivation as well, and the use of, you know, both herbicides and pesticides as well. Even the way in which, you know, tobacco varieties are actually managed now. I think to your point, Rich, which is tobacco was a very locally produced, locally grown, locally, you know, consumed product because it was not shipped all over the place. And it wasn't really until a lot of
pirates.
Until a lot of colonists from the old world really occurred, where you know that tobacco was actually moving, you know, across any large body of water or landmass. And so today, it's just all a matter of, you know, a cargo container and, you know, dropping stuff on a pallet and away you go. You know, so
and away we go.
I thought this was a good cigar. It was just a good average, you know, product at the end of the day. I was waiting for some wow bang thing to happen, you know, Don Polito, I mean, super famous, but you know, I didn't get there were no laser show or fireworks shooting out of this thing. So,
well, there were on my cigar.
You had to pay for premium for that.
And I hated the banding on this.
It was so plain.
Sorry.
I just had to rip you a little bit about that. I will say this, you know, the banding on this is pretty basic as well. And for when I first got these, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like that. Okay, whatever. And then I actually got a hold of one of the boxes, and the box is beautiful. The box is absolutely beautiful for the cigar. The banding is basic. But again, to Benjamin's point, they're keeping costs down to keep the consumer costs down. By doing things like that, and it really shows. But the product speaks for itself, in my opinion.
I think the other thing too is, you know, it's not basic. I think it's classic.
Yeah, sure. Right?
And I think there's a big difference there, especially if you're looking at the box. Like, this is a pretty classic example of a cigar box. And if you're doing something that's a 60th anniversary, right, it's not going to be the WWE championship belt that a lot of, you know, brands and manufacturers want to slap over three quarters of a cigar before you try to figure out how you're going to get the thing off, you know, and light and actually enjoy the stick.
You know, I've actually held that belt in my hands.
I don't doubt that.
Bro.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
That belt is heavy as crap, dude.
But yeah, I think this is a really, when I think of a box of cigars, this is what I think of.
Really?
100%.
Interesting.
Pretty classic wooden box. Has the, palm trees and the, DR.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
It's a very vintage style box.
Yeah, classic.
And very classico, like very, and when you open it up, there's stuff on the inside of the box that's just beautiful as well.
The cigars? What?
Well, the cigars, and then there's a little mural or whatever.
So like a fold out?
Yeah. Well, pop-up cigar. Let's rate this up and stop looking at your own hand first.
I'm not. We're gonna give it a three.
All right, fine. Some semblance to reality.
Majority ruled.
I had a quick story here about so I was trying to find some sound effects, for us to use during this episode.
Oh Lord.
And I was, it's interesting when you sit down and you're like, well, I want someone, to welcome me to Dominican Republic.
You gotta stop getting your sound effects off adult websites.
Then you run into people that are teaching you like slang words and teaching you how to cuss. And I'm telling you, the DR, there are a lot of people very passionate about cussing, really well, in Dominican. And
the art.
But I ran across this one person, and he was talking about elements of dialect. And, if you're listening to me at any point in time, you're like, wow, that's a really good fake British accent, Mike.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what they're thinking. That's
exactly what you're thinking, right, Benjamin? And so this guy was actually talking about tone, and I love this conversation.
The tone. So you want to make your second to last syllable of like whatever kind of phrase you're saying, you want to make that kind of elongated. Ese tipo está loco, pero Carlos, no me haga eso, mi amor, ¿qué tú haces? That kind of tone, okay? Not every single person talks like that and they don't do it in every single sentence, but you will notice listening to them speak that that's a way that they will talk.
What's so funny about that is Kevin Newman, every time I get around Kevin, he talks a little bit of Spanish too, and it's funny because I'll start saying something, he'll be like, that's dumb. Don't say that.
that's not how they talk, but they should.
Well, so then he'll correct me, and I'll be like,
Can we just apply it to English? Like, Benjamin.
Yeah.
Bargain.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't even call that a long tone. I just call that dragging the middle.
Yeah.
I think is what I want to call that. Tell us about our next cigar, okay,
Bargain? Yeah, that's right. I got you. So this is actually a surprise addition to the...
I'm doing this one.
Yeah, this is a surprise addition. So I kind of give this one to these guys today. And I gave it to Mike a couple days ago, and then Benjamin got it today, and me and Rich had one at the PCA, so they are fantastic. And Mike's going to tell you about Artista Falu.
Yes, Artista's cigar Falu. The Falu is a novel approach to blending tobaccos, representing years of sourcing and development to bring you our best work yet. Artista Falu is so named for the red barns of Northern Europe and the United States that stand out in rich contrast to their pastoral soundings. I have like this, flute in my head as this thing is playing in the background, waiting for Bammy to get her brains blown out. Anyway, so Falu features a toothy and rich broadleaf wrapper sourced from generations-old family farm. For the binder, we selected an Indonesian leaf, which adds a touch of sweetness with the filler blend that balances flavor and strength. Those binder, filler, and wrapper are: the binder is Indonesian Sumatra again. The filler is Dominican proprietary blend.
Proprietary.
We can't tell you what it is, man.
Secret sauce.
Roll that. And the wrapper is broadleaf. So, kind of interesting. I actually smoked this right before we recorded today. And the branding on this has a red stripe on the band itself. So, you know, it's pretty evident that
the harvest is yellow, the midnight's blue, and the floor is red.
Yeah. So I had several construction issues that happened with this, you know.
Of course.
It kept on canoeing on me, you know. I kept on having to check the burn line quite a bit. And then Barger said, you're smoking it too fast. No, you were smoking it
like a high schooler sneaking a cigarette in the bathroom.
Slow, because then I said, well, it went out twice on me. And I was sitting there having to screw around with it. He's like, you're smoking it too slow, too fast. I think I know exactly the pace how I should smoke. And...
Can't do anything right for you, can I, Michael?
Yeah, you know, it's like, seriously, can you hold up cue cards for me? I don't know if I can do this on my own accord.
The way you're breathing is pissing me off.
Is there a video I can watch? I'm learning how to do this, you know, at this point in time in my life. So maybe I need to go back and listen to our own Cigar 101 show.
Yeah, I could teach you a thing or two if you listen.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It just was very nondescript. You know, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I was like, wow, you know, what's next? So anyway.
So a lot of those construction issues that you talk about, and I don't know if it's just my luck, right, or the myriad of other things that it could be, but it's probably not because I'm pretty keen about cigar storage and lighting, and you know, I think I have a pretty solid pace.
It's process,
but
you were not getting coaching from Barger in real time.
And you did, but having construction issues.
But I have that issue with box press cigars on a pretty consistent basis.
Yeah,
and it's one of the top reasons that they're not my favorite type of cigar or Vitolo cigar to smoke, is because number one, I think that they feel a little odd to actually smoke. Right, they don't.
You like them round in your mouth?
100%, right? But then also, too, I tend to have the canoeing issues on a pretty consistent basis.
I'm just going to say this. On a box press cigar, I consistently, every draw, I'll rotate it in my hand. And it's very rare that I have a canoeing issue on a box press cigar.
They should put those type of instructions in the box if you got to rotate that thing. But I understand. Too much work. Yeah.
But
I'm trying to enjoy myself.
It's not if it's a subconscious thing like, oh, the band's facing up, let's turn it around. Oh, the band's facing down, let's turn it around.
Yeah,
like whatever. In my brain, so like I consistently keep my hotspot moving because, yes, if... And this is just me, and it's not science, it's pseudoscience. But this is just the way that my brain works.
And you only believe in science. I think
the
person
that made the cigar that you're smoking is cringing right now.
Yeah, Hang on a second. That's fine.
I really have to pick up my hip waders. It's just getting so deep and thick in here.
I'm just saying. Heat distribution across a square is way different than heat distribution across a circle. That's science. So at the same time, like, there are things you can do to stop and prevent these. Only you can prevent canoeing.
Circle meets a square.
That's right.
So you're saying if I had a square mouth and it's the square of your cigar.
Yeah, that's right.
You would never have canoeed. Is that your theory?
You got to think about it. When a cigar canoes on you, what do? You lick your finger and you put it on the cigar. If it's a round cigar, you lick your finger, you put it on the cigar, and you keep smoking, right?
I grab the lighter, I burn it even, I keep on moving.
And that's fine. But there are things you can do to prevent those things. Now, the speed in which you smoke a cigar can
absolutely
prevent or cause a canoeing issue.
Yes, can.
So at the same time, if we're just out here, you know, in just shooting the crap and hanging out, and you're not paying attention to your cigar, and you're sitting here puffing and puffing and puffing and puffing.
Negative.
Well, you might have a canoe. I didn't say you were doing that.
You did.
Here. I said it.
You just said it outside
in privacy.
Do you want me to run the tape back?
Yeah, run the tape back. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I think there's
maybe one day we'll all ascend to the level of cigar etiquette and smoking technique you that you have, Barger.
Get on board with these conspiracy theories, and then we'll talk about it.
I had a couple more comments I forgot to add, it was kind of woody, cedar, mild in the middle of it. I actually paired this really well with the Dalmore cigar malt. Nice. It was the perfect thing. And I actually tried a little book, Chapter 3, from Beam. And it actually did not work very well. So,
well,
my, that's
a three.
All right.
I disagree with that, but, you know, it's okay. Can't win them all.
It's all right. It's all right.
It's okay, and that's what we find out about on these episodes. Not everyone wins, and we're not always the right one in the room.
It was really cool to have the whole product line. And, you know, I would definitely go back for that midnight all day long.
Yeah, I will definitely revisit a lot of these cigars. What about you guys?
Artista's in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Solid smokes all the way around.
Well, listen, you guys have been wonderful tonight. I appreciate you. We have done three episodes tonight.
You just called me wonderful. Did you catch that?
I heard that. That's fine. We can talk about
recorded.
Listen, we'll jump in the canoe when we get done. It's fine.
Might be going too fast, too slow.
That's right. That's right.
I have the wrong
stroke
now.
Stroke, stroke, stroke. I want to thank our guest for coming on today. Thank you, good old boy Rich.
Just glad to be here, Coach. Is that a good one?
Thanks, good old boy Benjamin.
Smoke them if you got them.
Thanks, good old boy Mike.
Hey, come back, enjoy another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on seeping.
And I'm good old boy Barger, and thanks for everything, and keep on smoking. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Tell your friends about us. We'll be the best thing you laugh at all night.
Maybe it was like, you know, rowing on the wrong side of the canoe.
It's left. It's left, right.
You
left,
got a J right. paddle,
trying to
Mike.
Steer from the front.
You got a J paddle.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.